Good evening. This is Archdeacon Steve West, the parish priest of St. Barnabas Parish in the Anglican Church in the Diocese of Trinidad and Tobago. I welcome you to reflection on this 22nd Sunday after Pentecost, proper 24 year B. The readings for today, Job chapter 38, verses 1 to 7. And 34 to 41, Psalm 104, the letters of the Hebrews, chapter 5, verses 1 to 10, and the Gospel of Mark, chapter 10, verses 35 to 45. Let us pray. The Lord is here, His Spirit is with us. So we need not fear, because His Spirit is with us. And we are surrounded by love, for His Spirit is with us. We are immersed in peace, for His Spirit is with us. And so we rejoice in hope, for His Spirit is with us. And we travel in faith, for His Spirit is with us. Amen. Almighty God, King of all creation, sovereign over all things, you hold the universe in the palm of your hand. Enable us to keep our hearts fixed on you and our minds on your truth, for we have come to worship you as Lord of all. Amen. Lord, we come to you, the source and center of all our hope. We come to you longing to trust you more, ready to confess the poverty of our faith. We come to wait patiently and to be still in your presence. We come that your love and your kindness, your truth and your holiness might touch and change our lives. We come that in our worship, our coming might be a confession that you first came to us and for us. We come, and our coming in it itself, a prayer of commitment. Speak to us, Lord, that we may speak and serve in your name. Amen. We have the hymn, Thou Whose Almighty Word.
Thank you.
we pray the collect for Proper 24, followed by the collect for St. Luke's Day, which was the 18th of October, then our parish prayer. Let us pray. Almighty and everlasting God, in Christ you have revealed your glory among the nations. Preserve the works of your mercy, that your church throughout the world may persevere with steadfast faith in the confession of your name. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever. Amen. Almighty God, who inspired your servant Luke, the physician, to set forth in the gospel the love and healing power of your Son, graciously continue in your church this love and power to heal, to the praise and glory of your name, through Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Gracious God, you sent your only Son, Jesus, to be for us an example of godly living. Empower us by your Holy Spirit to treasure your creation, that we may be his faithful disciples in our time and place, making disciples of all nations, sharing his works with all who need to hear them, and helping our brothers and sisters to experience life in all its fullness, all to your honor and glory, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Our reflection today is entitled, Drinking from His Cup. Drinking from His Cup. In our gospel today from Mark chapter 10, verses 35 to 45, James and John, the sons of Zebedee, approached Jesus with a bold request. They said, "Grant us to sit one on your right and one on your left in your glory." Mark chapter 10, verse 37. When Jesus has come into his own, when he has established God's kingdom and is reigning over it, the two brothers who answered his call to discipleship want to be first and second in command, his right and left hand men. Jesus in love points out to them that they have no idea what they are asking. He says to them, "Are you able to drink the cup that I drink, or be baptized with the baptism that I am baptized with?" Verse 38. James and John reply, "We are able." Of course, James and John had no idea what they were asking. They did not understand that the road to glory was the way of the cross. Can they drink the bitter cup of suffering that he was about to drink? Can they be cleansed by the painful and humiliating death that awaits him? To their credit, James and John do not shy away, but confirm that they are able. They reply, "We are able." Jesus confirms that they will indeed, as he will, suffer. But he adds that the places of honor which they desire to have already have been assigned. As disciples of Christ, James and John will endure suffering, but their reward will be determined by the one who will judge the living and the dead. When the other disciples find out about the request, they are angry. Jesus calls them all together and explains to them another important characteristic of discipleship. Jesus says, "You know that among the Gentiles, those whom they recognize as their rulers lord it over them, and their great ones are tyrants over them. But it is not so among you. But whoever wishes to become great among you must be your servant, and whoever wishes to be first among you must be slave of all." Mark chapter 10, verses 42 to 44. Jesus redefines greatness. It is greatness with humility. He identifies with his definition. He says, "For the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many." Mark chapter 10, verse 45. In this discourse, Jesus acknowledges two characteristics of discipleship: humility and suffering. These characteristics have always been a part of humankind's interaction with God, since disobedience brought sin and suffering into the world. In the presence of the awesome Creator God, we are called to humility. This is illustrated in our Old Testament reading from Job chapter 38, verses 1 to 7 and 34 to 41. Job, in his suffering, wants to present his case before the Lord himself. Job finally gets his chance. However, when the Lord appears, instead of Job presenting his case, the Lord presents Job with a series of rhetorical questions which demonstrate the Lord's infinite power, wisdom, and greatness. The writer says, "Then the Lord answered Job out of the whirlwind, 'Where were you when I laid the foundation of the earth? Who determined its measurement? Or who stretched the line upon it?'" Job chapter 38, verses 1, 4, and 5. With the next set of questions, God highlights God's authority. Can Job command the forces of nature? Can he make rain? Can he produce thunder with his voice or trigger lightning? And who other than God is the source of wisdom? Who other than God can give the gift of understanding? Finally, God points out to Job, who provides for all his creatures. Can you hunt prey for the lion or satisfy the appetite of the young lions? Who provides for the raven its prey? When its young ones cry out to God and wonder about for lack of food, verses 39 to 41. In the end, Job understands that in the presence of the Creator, the one of ultimate power, authority, and wisdom, he has to humble himself, for none in creation can be greater or even equal to the Creator. In the presence of God, humankind is called to humility. In our epistle from the letter to the Hebrews, chapter 5, verses 1 to 10, the writer presents Jesus' qualifications for the office of high priest. The primary responsibility of the high priest was to offer sacrifices for sin. The writer states, "Every high priest chosen from among mortals is put in charge of things pertaining to God on their behalf to offer gifts and sacrifices for sin. He is able to deal gently with the ignorant and wayward, since he himself is subject to weakness. And because of this, he must offer sacrifices for his own sins as well as those of the people. Hebrews chapter 5, verses 1 to 3. Given their own weaknesses, high priests were to exercise humility. In addition, the writer of the letter to the Hebrews points out that suffering is what qualified Jesus to be our high priest. The writer states, although he was a son, he learned obedience through what he suffered, and having been made perfect, he became the source of eternal salvation for all who obeyed him. Hebrews chapter 5, verses 8 and 9. The reality is that Jesus is the source of eternal life and salvation for any who would follow him and live a life of humility, even in the face of suffering and death. In the presence of the Creator of the universe, we can only humble ourselves. As we live in a broken and sinful world, suffering is our lot. As disciples of Christ, we are invited to drink of the cup from which he drank. In obedience to the Father, he humbled himself even to the point of death. Death on a cross. Death on a cross involved tremendous suffering. He suffered and died like a common criminal to enable us to receive the gift of eternal life. As his disciples, we are called to take up the cross of humility. Do not think of ourselves more highly than we ought, St. Paul invites us. And give our lives in loving service to God's people. As we take up the cup of humility and suffering, we are called to service and to give our lives in loving service to others. As we drink from the cup of humility and suffering and service, we will be on the path to being faithful disciples of Christ. Remember, for the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many. Let us pray. Righteous Lord, we wait on your word. Servant Lord, you became as one of us, that we might be at one with you. Give to your church the same humility that it may seek to raise up all people as heirs of your grace. In your service, we will find true glory. Righteous Lord, we wait on your word. Servant Lord, you endured power struggles among your closest followers. Give to all political leaders wisdom to understand the true purpose of government. Take away all self-seeking and desire for honor. Righteous Lord, we wait on your word. Servant Lord, you saw the corrosive effects of status. Give to all the peace that comes from knowing we are valuable in your sight. Set our restless hearts at ease in your love. Righteous Lord, we wait on your word. Servant Lord, by your bruises we are healed. Give to the anguished the light of your presence. Be with us, O Lord, in all our troubles. Righteous Lord, we wait on your word. Servant Lord, you are the source of our salvation. Give to all who have died new life in your eternity. Remember, O Lord, the works of your hands, that we may be with you forever. Righteous Lord, we wait on your word. As our Savior Christ had commanded and taught us, we are bold to say, Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. Save us from the time of trial, and deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. And may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all, now and forevermore. Amen. We have the hymn, Will You Come and Follow Me?
Your company.
Let us pray. Teach us, good Lord, to serve you as you deserve, to give and not to count the costs, to fight and not to heed the wounds, to toil and not to seek for rest, to labor and not to ask for any reward save that of knowing we do your will. And in that service, O God, we pray that you will continue to make us instruments of your peace. Where there is hatred, let us sow love. Where there is injury, pardon. Where there is doubt, faith. Where there is despair, hope. Where there is darkness, light. And where there is sadness, joy. O Divine Master, grant that we may not so much seek to be consoled as to console, to be understood as to understand, to be loved as to love. For it is in giving that we receive, it is in pardoning that we are pardoned, and it is in dying that we are born to eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. And may the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. May the Lord lift up the light of his countenance upon you and give you his presence and his peace today and every day. Amen. And we pray that you will have a spiritually rewarding and productive week. Please be safe. And we end our service with the hymn, How Great Thou Art.